Good morning. You're in the loop. Every week we talk with the people who make San Antonio a better place to live. Thanks for joining us in the loop. Here's your host, Milton Glick.
And welcome to In the Loop. I'm Milton Glick, and that's what we do. We get you caught up with the people and the organizations that are making San Antonio a better place to live. We're going to talk to the folks at Clarity Child Guidance Center. And again, I truly enjoy talking to them because it's a great organization. It's doing terrific work in San Antonio. And every time we talk, we have a great conversation. And today, our guest, Jessica Knudsen, who is the CEO and president of Clarity Child Guidance Center. But we're going to talk about an aspect that I don't think, Jessica, that we've really ever talked about. If we did, we just kind of touched on it because it was sort of a surprise to me. How are you doing? I'm sorry. There you go. Now you're up there. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Excuse me. Yes, I am. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit. I'm trying to figure out where to start in my mind, but I'm going to start with kind of giving a mission and a little bit of history of Clarity Child Guidance Center, and then we'll talk about the military aspect that I really just maybe had heard about, but just wasn't really. It just didn't click as much as I'm surprised to know all the stuff that you guys do is, I guess, what I'm saying. So, yeah, let's start with the history.
Sure. So we're actually having a birthday this year. In June of this year, we're going to celebrate our 135th birthday. So we've been in the San Antonio community for quite a while. And our mission is to help children, adolescents, and families overcome the disabling effects of mental illness and improve their ability to function. And that's at home, school, and in the community. And we do that with offering a wide range of services, everything from a 66-bed inpatient hospital to a day hospital program, and then we're able to offer a full complement of outpatient services as well, therapy, psychological testing, and psychiatric med management all here on our campus. And, you know, you mentioned you were surprised about our military outreach. It's actually a big component of what we do. We're very fortunate to have a relationship with USAA that funds a lot of those services, and it helps us stay connected to that military, the military personnel and their families.
Yeah, and the other thing that was impressive, too, in reading a little bit of the information is this is worldwide. Your connection...
So we have a lot of information on our website. So we have free military education and prevention initiatives and a specific military page on that on our website. We have a specific military e-news, and we are able to track, like, who's logging on and reading the blogs and looking at the military-specific handbooks. And we've got hits from Fort Sam Houston to Fort Bragg to Germany, and those hits are steadily climbing. So almost 80,000 people have visited the website dedicated to children's mental health, and about 10,000 of those were members of the military.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Let's talk, and then you've got something that's coming up Thursday and Friday that we want to talk a little bit about too, because it's are both of these free? I know one of them says, but I wasn't sure about the one.
One of them is free. One of them does have a fee associated with it. But, you know, I don't know if a lot of folks know that April is the month of the military child. And so we really tried to focus some events and some information to help military families, and especially those that might have a deployed parent and might have minor children at home. The first of those events, and this one is the free one, Thursday, April 8th, 7:30 to 8:30. There's a free webcast and featuring Trevor Roman. And if you're in the military community, you might be familiar with Mr. Roman. He is a children's book author and co-founder of Comfort Crew for Military Kids. They deliver, you know, proven resources that help military kids and their families just deal with the really extraordinary challenges they have to go through with deployment and injuries and even loss of a parent. So his talk that we're going to be sponsoring is Connecting with Your Children During Rough Times. And so it's, again, free event for military parents. But I think even those folks not involved with the military would benefit, because I think we're all in some challenging times.
Yep.
And we're able to do this through our support from the USAA Foundation and Comfort Crew for Military Kids.
And then I kept reading it, but I missed the words. So is Friday ClarityCon?
And then Friday is ClarityCon.
How exciting.
Friday, April 9th. Yep. It, pre-pandemic, ClarityCon was our big just community children's mental health summer. It's typically a two-day event. We had it out at the one of the Hill Country hotels, and that would have been 2019 before everything kind of changed. And we had 700 in-person attendees. You know, obviously, we couldn't do that this year, so we kind of rethought it and reimagined it. And so this year, we've had four virtual sessions. So our last in that series is going to be Friday, April 9th from 8 to noon, and they're going to be three different lectures connected to that. We have a small in-person audience at KLRN. Folks can log on, or you can watch it on demand after the fact. And we've got some information on obsessive-compulsive disorder in kids, behavior and aggression, and another focus on the military family, on change, trauma, and supporting children of military families. So some really good presentations. There is a small fee included or asked for in that event, but there are continuing education credits available for professionals.
Oh, okay. And anyone who's interested in mental health how it affects families, how it affects children, ClarityCon is absolutely wonderful in terms of the information that you get. So where do they go to get more information or to sign up for both of these? Just go to claritycgc.org?
Both events can be found at www.claritycgc.org.
Okay. And then they'll
find...
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Yes, there are links to both of those events.
Okay. All right. Well, let's focus a little bit on the challenges that you see, and I'm just curious. So let's talk about military families and military children, and what are some of the challenges that you see that are facing them that perhaps aren't facing children who don't have military families.
I think probably one of the toughest things that those families are going through is the deployment of a parent. And, you know, depending on what your kind of family is made up of, if you're a single mom and you're deployed, that might mean that grandparents are doing the primary caregiving for kids, and that's a very challenging situation, or other extended family. Or maybe it's a two-parent household, and one parent is deployed, leaving the other parent to be a single parent. And that's extremely challenging because, you know, they don't come home at the end of the day to be able to help with bedtime. You really are alone for those extended deployments. And it is very hard on the kids when that happens. You know, these families are at risk for a wounded parent if they're in active duty. So they might come back from time away and have a significant injury that they're having to recover from and then try to parent, which is hard. And then what we ultimately don't wish on anyone is if there's a loss of a parent. You know, maybe if a parent is deployed and they are killed in duty, I think that's really the ultimate tragedy that those military families can face.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You talk a little bit about one of the most visited sites on your website is the the signs, the four most common signs, is that it?
You know, four common challenges kids face and what parents can do to help. That's had almost 4,000 page views.
It's pretty remarkable. Talk a little bit about I guess you did a little bit, but what can, and I guess it's kind of, now that you're talking about it a little bit and I'm learning a little bit more, You really have two different things. You have the person who's deployed and how, and the challenges that they face helping their children, as well as the caretaker who may not be that parent, like you said, the grandparent. So is it really two different areas that in terms of how to help the child?
Oh, and I would say more than two, because you know, the huge thing with a deployed family is, yes, everyone kind of figures out the new normal. You know, what does the family members that are here, how do they kind of cope and deal with the family member that's not there? But then what do you do when they come back? How do you kind of reunify that family unit? Because depending on the length of the deployment, you know, I know my routine with my kids, I kind of get set in the routine and set in my ways, and it's kind of jarring when somebody else comes in and wants to do it a different way.
Yeah.
And so there can be a lot of stress, even when that missing parent who, you know, we've longed to come back, it can be very stressful when they come back and you try and get them back into the routine of being a family.
Do you see different manifestations of problems with different ages of children? So it seems like a teen might have different challenges than a young child.
Absolutely. You know, when we look at the spectrum of kids that we work with, because we work from 3 to 17, and I would say this is not true just for our military families, but for every family we treat, so often those younger kids get mislabeled. They get mislabeled as a quote-unquote bad kid, or, you know, they just misbehave. They don't listen. But with a really young child, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, even 7, 8, they have not really learned how to deal with their feelings, and they don't have the words to express how they're feeling. You know, anger can feel like a very scary and overwhelming thing if you just don't know what it is or where it's coming from. And so oftentimes that turns into a fit or a hitting or having a tantrum. And really the underlying reason is there's maybe some anxiety, feeling scared, and they just don't know how to say that. So, you know, you often get these kids mislabeled. You know, we've been talking a lot here about how we can intervene with families earlier, because so often the families that we talk to and they're seeking treatment for a 9 or 10 year old, when you take their history, the kid was asked to leave a couple of child cares. You know, they went through 3 or 4 child cares before they went to kindergarten or started school. You know, that to me is a red flag that there's maybe some underlying behavioral issue that needs some attention. That maybe got them put in the wrong category of just, you know, not following directions. You're absolutely right with the older teens too. That's a little more, it's a little tougher to get your hands around, because every teenager has some challenging behaviors. You know, it's normal for them to separate from their parents a bit more and you know, have times where they don't want to talk and disclose. But I think more often with our older teens, withdrawing is more common. You know, they don't want to talk. They don't want to tell their parents or any adult what's going on. I think when we get concerned is when that withdrawing also involves withdrawing from their peer group, when they're just not engaging with anyone or relying. And then they might be more prone to some anger outbursts as well, you know, overreactions, those type of things. So, yeah, you can definitely see a wide range of behaviors across the ages and across kids. No two kids are different. I mean, no two kids are the same.
Yeah. And I think another thing that would be challenging, too, is if you're in an environment that's non-military. So, and you're going to school, the children whose parents are not in the military have a different normal than you do, and their normal, I can imagine, might make you a little jealous, might make you, I don't know, maybe not even jealous, but uncomfortable. And it's like, no one understands me, because, you know, 20 kids in my class are not going through the exact same thing and don't have the same challenges. So it does seem like it would be kind of rough on a kid of any age.
Yeah, it could be very isolating.
Yeah. Talking to Jessica Knudsen, who is the CEO and president of Clarity Child Guidance Center. We're going to get to some other questions in a second, Jessica, but again, let's do a commercial about the events that are coming up this week. So I'm going to let you talk about the event on Thursday and then ClarityCon.
So Thursday, April 8th, we have a free webcast featuring Trevor Roman, who is an award-winning children's book author and co-founder of Comfort Crew for Military Kids. He'll be doing a talk on connecting with your children during rough times. Again, you can register for that event by going to our website, claritycgc.com. And then on Friday, April 9th, we have our last in a series of four virtual Clarity Cons this year. There will be three different lectures on understanding anxiety in children, behavior and aggression, and another military-focused section on change trauma as supporting children of military families. And, again, you can go to our website to find more details on that event.
And has, you know, one of the things that, I really, right when COVID hit, pretty much, I guess, a couple months into it, you and I believe, talked, and you pointed out that, there were some positives that were coming out of this tremendously negative situation. And I'm wondering on this one, are you seeing some positives too? For instance, with telemedicine, are you able to more easily treat someone, say, who goes to the website from Germany and now is looking for different information and help them?
Absolutely. I think it has expanded our ability to, get to folks that maybe couldn't get to us previously. And that could be because they had transportation issues. They, you know, still had some, maybe some stigma related to, visiting someplace on site. So I think we will always do some version of telehealth going forward. I think that's been a permanent change that, we will have. And right now we're probably doing about 60% in-person sessions with the, some of the reopening, but we're continuing to do about 40% via telehealth because it's just a lot more convenient for folks, and so I think we're able to touch a lot more kids that, need it.
And a couple more things on, military and military children. On the press release, it talks about the different websites and or rather the different blogs and where people visit. What are some of the most popular ones that you see getting a lot of hits, which probably is a really good indication of what, what's happening out in the community, the military community? And are there any that surprised you?
So, again, our most popular is the four common challenges that military kids face and what parents can do to help. Another one that gets frequent views is co-parenting with a wounded warrior. Which, you know, it's not something that I necessarily would have thought of, but, you know, how do you co-parent when somebody's coming back from active duty with an impact? You know, how does it impact the kids at home? How can we find hope and healing in this? And how do we deal not just with the injury, but how to incorporate that back into a co-parenting situation? So that's, you know, surprising. Preparing a child for a parent's deployment is another very popular one. You know, how do you prep kids of different ages for the fact that their parent will be gone for an extended amount of time? And just, you know, quick reference guides for mental health, if you've got military health insurance. So it's really everything from a very specific clinical need to some quick reference guides. And everything is very well visited.
Yeah, and it sounds like Clarity is a terrific resource for these families as well, just not only the website, but just in general, finding ways to kind of get them support and help.
Absolutely. It's a major part of our mission is to do the prevention and education piece of behavioral health. It's I think you and I have chatted before. The unfortunate thing is that the data still shows that the time to get to treatment for a child between the time a symptom is first displayed and them actually seeking behavioral health interventions is up to 8 years. So that might mean you have that six-year-old that's maybe having those behavioral challenges, and they kind of get through the channels at school, and maybe they see their pediatrician, but they might be 14 before they actually see a behavioral health therapist. And so the more we can do to normalize that this is something a lot of families go through. You know, one in five kids is going to have some kind of behavioral health issue over the course of their childhood. If we can get them help sooner, it just makes it an easier course of treatment for everybody and for the family.
And you touched on it a little bit earlier, but maybe we'll take this opportunity to touch on it again. What are some things, because I'm guessing that sooner that you look for solutions, the sooner you try to get help, the better. That may be a false assumption, but what are things, warning signs that you might see And are they different, or are they the same, but they present themselves differently? Does that make sense for a military child and someone who's not military?
I think it does, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The sooner you can get into treatment, the better off you're going to be. There's really nothing, but mental health is health, and so I equate it 100% to if you were having a pain in your side, there's no benefit from waiting 8 years to get that pain in your side checked. It's only going to make it worse, and it's going to make the recovery more difficult. If you're diabetic, you're not going to wait until your blood sugar plummets before you seek help. Depression, anxiety, those type of things are exactly the same. The longer we wait, the harder it's going to be. I think for all kids, military families and non-military families, I always tell families, parents are the experts on their kids. So what I always tell them is that you're looking for any change in your child, because our kids are so different. And what is kind of normal behavior for them or patterns or behavior might not be the same for my kids as my neighbor's kids. But if they're behavior shifts, that's what I want to watch out for. Is there a change in their sleeping, their eating, their communication, their engagement, their socialization with their peers, how much time they're spending online? All of those are really red flags that you want to watch out for any change. So I tell parents to pay attention to their gut, that if something feels wrong or off, or there's just a significant change, that's what you need to pay attention to. And definitely, if a child ever makes a passing comment about self-harm, or even a comment like, I wish I didn't wake up in the morning, those are always comments that you want to get help immediately. You never want to take those kind of comments lightly, because there's meaning behind that.
When we started talking way back when, one of the big problems, and you did address it, but I'm hoping there's some good news, was the idea of stigma. That but I'm hoping there's good news, and maybe there's a little less feeling of stigma as it relates to mental health and getting help.
Well, I would read that as a good news, bad news situation. I think the good news is we are definitely talking about it more. There's just more, even on the on news programs and magazines, and with the pandemic, I think there's a acknowledgement that depression, anxiety are a real side effect of all of this.
Right.
So we're talking about it a lot more, which is definitely a huge factor to breaking down the stigma. Now, the bad side is that means it's happening a lot more. I think the prevalence is so much higher, which is why it's getting so much more public attention, because this has been a shared trauma for everyone with the length of the pandemic and kind of all of the side effects with school and everything else. A lot of folks say that mental health is going to be the next wave of the pandemic.
Wow, that's interesting.
Kind of open back up again.
Huh. Yeah, and I hadn't thought of the second one. I just know that that in talking to people for all these years, that the biggest thing was that people who finally got help would say to you or somebody else, I don't know why I waited this long. And and that's where I was hoping was maybe changing, but I hadn't thought of the second part. Our guest today on In the Loop, Jessica Knutson, who is the CEO and president of a Clarity Child Guidance Center here in San Antonio. Over 100 years old, is that right?
135th birthday in June.
Wow, happy birthday. How many candles?
Thank you. We need a really big cake.
You are going to need a really big cake. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to give them to you. Talk about what's coming up. And if you wanted to give a little pat on the back to the USAA Foundation or the folks that are helping bring the thing on Thursday, please do.
Yeah, absolutely. We would not be able to do any of the information and support that we are able to do for military families without that support of USAA. They are a tremendous partner of the USAA Foundation. And they're the primary reason we're able to put on the event on Thursday, that free webcast featuring Trevor Roman on connecting with your children during rough times. Again, you can find that on our website, claritycgc.com. And then again on Friday, April 9th, we've got our last virtual session of ClarityCon with three outstanding presenters. You can find information for that on our website as well. But we are very thankful for USAA in that we're able to just provide this wealth of information. And again, not just in San Antonio, but Houston, North Carolina, Germany, we're able to get this information to military families across the world, which is just, I think, vital for everybody's mental health.
No, and the fact that it's virtual does make it exciting from a positive standpoint because, yeah, I'm willing to bet that I think, and you've seen this in some of the virtual Clarity Cons, that you're getting people that are coming that wouldn't have normally come.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're able to pull in folks not just from across Texas, but, you know, it really opens us up to people that would never have known about Clarity otherwise. So that part is, I think, a positive.
Well, Jessica, we will visit again, but I sure appreciate you coming on and talking to me about all this. And if you want more information, claritycgc.com, the place to go to. And we'll say goodbye for today. Thank you so much, Jessica.
All right. Thank you, Milton. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. We'll say goodbye for today, but I'm Milton Glick. If you didn't get that information or you want more information on it, call me here at the station. I'll be happy to get it for you. We'll say goodbye for today, but join us next week as we keep you in the loop.
Thanks for joining us in the loop. We look forward to bringing you next week's show with Milton Glick.